You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is the 19th of November 2025, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Well, today I wanted to take a look at what's been happening with Lucy Connolly. And Lucy Connolly was the wife of a Conservative councillor who was sentenced to a prison term, exactly the same length of prison term as me, for exactly the same offences me, inciting hate or publishing something that was likely to stir up hate. And I wanted to draw a contrast between the way she's been treated since she came out with her bail conditions and mine. And she would have been under exactly the same probation team that I had, the National Security Division. And she's in the news today because she's complaining that Labour wouldn't allow her to go to the United States. The title of this article, which I've got from GB News, says, Lucy Connolly says Labour vetoed her travelling to the United States as the mother admits she feels state-controlled. I wasn't even allowed to go and meet one person without having to gain permission first from the probation team. And yet she was allowed to go to a conference and be the main speaker at a conference within about a week of her being released. Now, I requested to go to the PA conference in 2024. I was released in August 2024, and the PA conference was in November. And I had already been told that, it would be fine for me to talk to my supporters about my experience of the justice system. So I assumed that meant that it was okay for me to go to the conference and give a speech on it. But as soon as I said, I'm expecting to go to the PA conference, they were, oh no, we can't possibly have you doing that. And they gave me these bail conditions, which said that I was not allowed to go to a gathering or take part in a gathering, take part in a meeting, take part in a conference, contribute to a website, do any interviews, give any lectures, and extremely strict restrictions. And I said, well, what about this word meeting here? Does this mean meeting one person, or does it mean a meeting where, like a gathering of people and addressing a meeting? And they said, oh, it means a gathering of people. And they said, we can't let you go to this conference. And I complained about it and said, look, you know, this is going to be the least likely place where somebody is going to break the Public Order Act, because there's a code of conduct which everybody has to sign up to. And you probably don't have a code of conduct elsewhere in the country at conferences. You're more likely to hear hate speech elsewhere rather than somewhere that has a code of conduct. And they said, well, you'll only have been out of prison for 3 months by that point, and we won't have any idea about how compliant you are with the restrictions. So next year, you'll be in a much better position for us to consider whether you can attend it. So I went through the whole year, obeyed all their conditions, did everything they wanted me to do. And when I requested to go to the PA conference a year later, this is a year and almost 3 months later, it was only a couple of weeks ago, the conference. So they knew that I wasn't going to break the Public Order Act. And they even said that. My probation manager said, you know, we've got no concerns at all about you reoffending. What we're concerned about is if somebody else there might say something, or there might be some trouble there, and then you would be associated with it. So they were really sort of concerned about if there had been trouble there, And if I had attended it, then it would have looked bad on the National Security Division for allowing me to go. So this is a year and 3 months later. They're still not allowing me to go to a conference. And Lucy Connolly was allowed to go to the Reform Party conference, and she was allowed to speak to the audience. And she's been allowed to give interviews. She's been on GB News giving interviews. She's been giving interviews to newspapers. So it's a little bit rich now that she complains that they won't let her go to America, and she feels state controlled. I mean, how does she think everybody else who got charged with or convicted of exactly the same charges feels seeing her being able to do all of these things that other nationalists are not allowed to do? I mean, it's quite clear that there is a two-tier probation system. If you're a civic nationalist, you get to speak at reform conferences, you get to do interviews. If you're an ethno-nationalist, you're not even allowed to go to a private gathering. If you're going to a private gathering, the Public Order Act doesn't apply, does it? Because it's a Public Order Act. Anyway, after this restriction, it was explained to me that it actually meant a gathering. It didn't mean meeting one person. I was absolutely fine to meet friends and go and have a meal with them. That was the example that was used. So I made arrangements, or started making arrangements, to go and have a meal with Bill Etheling and Michael Woodbridge. And they saw that on my texts, because I also have to hand over my phone for them to read all the texts on it. And I had to have a Trojan horse put on my computer, so that they had somebody there the whole time looking at everything that I looked at online to check that I didn't look at something I wasn't supposed to look at. And my offence was publishing something. It's not an offence to look at politically incorrect content. It might be an offence to publish that content if it incites hate. But there was no danger of me doing that, just looking at news websites. But at first, they would only let me go on Amazon. Absolutely over-the-top restrictions. And all they had to do, they knew that my offences were published on my own website. So really, all they had to do is say, you're not allowed to publish anything at your website, and you're not allowed to leave comments. And then all they would have had to do to check that that was the case is just open up Radio Albion each day and see if I'd posted anything. But instead of doing that, which was the sensible way to do things, they just banned me from everything on the internet. And once I had started arranging to go and have a meal with Bill Etheling and Michael Woodbridge, they went mad about that, and they changed the goalposts completely. And I got a letter saying that I had breached my probation conditions, breached my license restrictions, although I wasn't going to be recalled. And just to clarify things, that's what they said, just to clarify things, what we mean by meeting is one or more people. So I said to them, look, you're not clarifying anything. You're actually changing the entire meaning, because I have it in writing, because I wrote it down. When they said it means going to a gathering, I said, can I have that in writing? And the probation manager, who was female at the time, said, look, you've got it in writing. I just watched you write it down. I said, OK, so we both agree that what I've just written down is what you said. She said, yes. So then when I arranged to have this Christmas meal, I got this letter through. Just to clarify things, what we mean by meeting is one or more people. And you have already been breaking this by trying to arrange for a meal. So I said to them, look, you're not clarifying it. You're changing it entirely. And they said, well, at least we told you about it, that we were changing it. And I just thought, right, well, that just says it all, doesn't it? You know, that implies that in some cases they would just change the meaning of the restriction without even bothering to tell the person who was on license. And then obviously the person who was on license would break that restriction without knowing anything about it, and they would end up back in jail. So I was just, well, thank you for telling me then, if it's going to be like that. So for Lucy Connolly to start complaining that she's not allowed to travel to the United States and she feels state controlled, I mean, what does she think it's like for the rest of us? Well, let's have a look at this article, just what's being said here. Labour vetoed Lucy Connolly from travelling to the United States after senior officials were consulted over whether she could take off from British soil. Now, I don't think Labour had anything to do with it. It would have just been the National Security Division. It would have been her probation. I mean, it's generally a part of probation that you're not allowed to leave the country. You know, you're not allowed to go and have a holiday somewhere. You have to serve out the rest of your sentence within the United Kingdom. That's a basic restriction, which is the same for everybody that's on license. So I'm not so certain it was Labour that vetoed this. So she really doesn't, I don't think she really knows the ins and outs of probation. She's probably just been having things to do with people like Nigel Farage and politicians. Speaking to GB News presenter Ben Leo on the channel's flagship US show Late Show Live, the mother of two, 42, opened up about how she felt massively state-controlled. So she's been released 2 months, 3 months, and she's giving television interviews to the news. I wasn't allowed to be interviewed. I wasn't allowed to talk to anybody. Yet she's allowed to give interviews. The former childminder was jailed for stirring up racial hatred against asylum seekers online on the day of the Southport murders last year. She was handed a 31-month sentence, that's exactly the same sentence as me, for exactly the same offence as me, stirring up racial hatred, after sharing a post on X which read, "Mass deportation now, set fire to all the effing hotels full of the bees for all I care, if that makes me racist, so be it." Now, she pled guilty to that. And what she's really saying there is that if something like that happens, I don't care. Now, is that racist? You could have argued that she wasn't guilty of inciting racial hatred and that there was nothing to do with race in the wording anyway. But she pled guilty to it. So she literally pled guilty to the offence and then spent the next 13 months asserting that she was actually not guilty of the offence. And normally, if you're sent to jail for an offence and you plead guilty to it, and then you later insist that you are not guilty to it, often they will leave you in jail until you accept that you were actually guilty because you pled guilty to it. You know, I met people that were in prison that could have been let out years earlier, but they were insisting on their innocence, even though they'd been found guilty. And yet Lucy Connolly, not once did she have that held against her. She's allowed to go to America and talk at all these conferences rather than actually having to stay in prison for the whole of her sentence. The situation of travelling across the pond was kick-started by Reform leader Nigel Farage, asking if Mrs. Connolly would join him while giving evidence to a US congressional committee into whether European laws threaten Americans' freedom of speech. Now, I actually spoke to a representative of the National Security Division about this, and I said, look, this is two-tier probation because she's been allowed to give all these interviews and I'm not. And he said, well, you would have to see that department that, you know, because they have like Southwest, Southeast, Northeast, different departments of National Security Division. Obviously, I had the Welsh division. And he was like, there's actually been talk about this because we don't understand, you know, how this could have happened, because this isn't the usual procedure to allow people to give interviews. And I said, well, I suspect it's to do with Nigel Farage, who is an MP. So she may well have the weight of an MP there, which is behind her. But you're also only supposed to have your local MP advocating for you while you're in prison. I mean, they advise you to write to your local MP, or they advise your supporters to write to your local MP, rather than to just any MP, because another MP is going to be responsible for another part of the country. Yet somehow she was able to use Nigel Farage for leverage. Mrs. Connolly told Ben, "Nigel was really keen for me to go with him to America to give evidence on this. As far as I'm aware, it was vetoed straight from the top. The original plan at the time was to go straight to David Lammy. I don't know the ins and outs of what was said and what happened." Well, again, this is very strange. Why isn't she talking about going to the National Security Division? Why isn't she talking about going to probation? Why is it that she's able to go right over the top of the heads of probation and go to the top politicians? Now, I don't think they did go to David Lammy. I think they went to probation and probation said, well, look, we can't allow her out of the country because nobody who is on license is allowed out of the country, no matter who they are. She said, I just know that I got back an answer that it's a hard no. I mean, it's remarkable that she really doesn't have any idea of the procedures that are going on behind her release and behind her probation period. While in America, Mr. Farage criticised the Online Safety Act, which he believed gave the most extraordinary and arbitrary powers to Ofcom, as he vowed his party would repeal it in government. And there's been a really disgusting campaign over here in Britain accusing Farage of trying to make life easier for pedophiles because he criticises the Online Safety Act. The Online Safety Act has done nothing to prevent children from seeing pornography or to prevent paedophiles having contact with children online. What it has done is that it's forced one of the most well-known free speech platforms that was actually started in Britain to cease its operation in Britain. BitChute, that came about after YouTube's censorship policy. And BitChute were working with groups like Hope Not Hate. And if Hope Not Hate flagged up a video and said, look, we think this incites hate, they were taking the video down. You know, they were doing exactly what the government wants them to do. And yet, because of this Online Safety Act, they've had to withdraw completely out of fear of what would happen to them if there was something questionable on there. And the real issue with it is that it does give arbitrary powers to the Home Secretary. They have this definition of legal but harmful. And if they decide something is legal but harmful, they can request that it gets taken down by the social media companies. So instead of there being a definite that's legal and a definite that's illegal, now you can have a definite that's legal, but if the Home Secretary doesn't like it, she can tell the social media companies that they're going to be fined if they allow people to talk about it. So it's an absolutely disgusting bill that they've come up with that doesn't increase safety for children at all. What it does is it silences the conversation. It censors people from talking about certain subjects. Drawn up to make the internet safer, particularly for children, the law sets out rules for platforms such as Facebook and X to follow, which have raised concerns over free speech. And of course, the question has always been, was it really drawn up to make the internet safer? Perhaps that was part of it. Perhaps part of it was to make the internet safer for children. But another part of it was to bring in this censorship. It's a really insidious thing to do as well, to pretend that a law is there all about making children safer. And, you know, it's abusing, really, these poor parents that have had their children that have ended up killing themselves or that ended up being abused online, and using them and their anguish as a reason to bring this law in, when half of the law is about censoring free speech. It's a really sneaky thing to do. Reform's policy chief, Zia Youssef, claimed the act suppressed freedom of speech and would force social media companies to censor anti-government speech, which is exactly what it's done. It's forced BitChute into closing down their operation in Britain. And in order to get around it, all you have to do is have a VPN. And I'm sure all the youngsters today probably have VPNs on their phones. I think most people have a VPN so that they can have privacy and whatever they're viewing. And then this Online Safety Act doesn't work, does it? So it's not actually protecting children. But what it is doing is it's censoring people's free speech. And as I say, this campaign against Nigel Farage, mainly by Ed Davey, from the Liberal Democrats, it's really disgusting to accuse Nigel Farage of trying to make life easier for pedophiles by speaking against this Online Safety Act. Asked who was behind the decision, Mrs. Connolly said it was possibly Justice Secretary David Lammy, although she was not certain. I mean, why did she think it was David Lammy? Surely it's most likely to be probation or the national security, unless she's been allowed to just bypass all of that and go straight to Nigel Farage. And I don't know what the procedure would be in law in order that would actually allow that. Still, she found the situation amusing after having been freshly released from HMP Peterborough and then attempting to fly to North America. It's just like, who does she think she is that she can be released on licence and then get straight on a plane and fly to America? Nobody can do that. She says, they're never going to let me, of all people, go to the US to tell them my story and tell America how far we've fallen here with regards to free speech, she added. Well, I think that's all secondary. The reason they didn't let her go is because she was on license. It was always going to be a big ask for them to sign that off, and I never really expected them to. And they've just proved my point, haven't they? Reflecting on the situation, Ben commented, "It seems pretty authoritarian," while Mrs. Connolly concurred that she felt massively controlled by the state. How could she feel massively controlled by the state when she's giving interviews, going to conferences? Upon her release, Mrs. Connolly has been slapped with Level 3 Multi-Agency Public Protection Arrangements, that's MAPA 3, throwing the wife of former Conservative councillor Raymond Connolly in with the likes of offenders who present the highest risk of serious harm, including sex offenders. And they did the same to me. I'm sure they would have done the same to Sam as well. People that actually had life sentences for murder get put on MAPA 3. And this gives you a sense of how over the top the government's response is to these hate speech offences. I mean, when you say hate speech to somebody who doesn't really know very much about this, they think it's inciting violence against someone. They don't realise that it's simply abbreviating the word Pakistani is hate speech, and using words that were quite acceptable to use 10 years ago are now considered to be hate speech. And if you give the government the benefit of the doubt, I mean, some people will say this was deliberately done because they knew it was going to censor the far right, censor nationalists, and prevent them from being able to criticise certain government policies. But if you give the government the benefit of the doubt, and they don't actually know that that's what's going on, and they think that it is about preventing violence rather than censorship, then the law itself has moved far, far away from what it was originally intended to do. And I mean, it's obvious it has done that, because they talked about in some of the literature to do with me, they talked about me presenting a serious risk of harm to asylum seekers and refugees. And there was never any accusation of me actually inciting violence or ever being a violent person. They're literally equating the use of abbreviations with causing serious harm to people. So the law itself has obviously moved far away from its original purpose, if its original purpose was to prevent the inciting of violence, which is, if you look at the Hansard, which tells you what the politicians talked about when they brought this law in, that's what the law was supposed to be for. And they said it was going to be an extremely high bar, and so that people who were just being humorous or just being critical wouldn't fall foul of it. But since it's now being used to prosecute people for using abbreviations and old-fashioned English, then clearly that bar has now gone so low that you could trip over it. As a result, if Mrs. Connolly wants to attend a large gathering of more than 50 people, such as a conference, officials have to give her the green light. 50 people. I wasn't even allowed to meet one person with more than one person without gaining prior permission. I had to give like weeks worth of in advance. I had to ask them if I could go and meet two people and get permission from them to do that. And yet she's complaining that she's not only allowed to meet up to 50 people. "Don't be fooled into thinking that I made my life really easy now, because they don't," Mrs. Connolly lamented. She really doesn't know what side of bread is buttered, does she? Flabbergasted, Ben admitted, "I'm absolutely astonished. You're basically chucked in the same bag as sex offenders and, you know, some of the worst people in society." And I guess that's one positive thing about this, is that people are seeing this, that somebody who's being critical of government policy, after they've been sentenced for this, they are put in the same bag as murderers and sex offenders. That's the ludicrous thing about this, that the government seem to equate using abbreviations as serious as murder or as serious as rape. Mrs. Connolly said she was put in such a category due to the nature of her case being so high profile. That's another reason why people can be put on the National Security Division. But generally, it's tact offences, which is terrorism adjacent something or other. So they literally think that if you're a nationalist and you're using old-fashioned English, that that's called terrorism adjacent. So they would have said that her language there was adjacent to terrorism. That's why she was put under National Security Division, and also because it was a high-profile case. On July 29th, Mrs. Connolly deleted the posts that led to her arrest 3.5 hours after they were viewed more than 310,000 times on X. So she removed them anyway. It was really just malicious of them to stick her in jail for it. Earlier, but then she pled guilty, foolishly. Earlier this year, the former childminder was ordered to serve 40% of her sentence in jail before being released on licence. Now, when I was in prison, there were people being let out after 40% of their sentence. I wasn't allowed to be let out after 40%. I had to do the full 50%. And people were also being given less of a time period when they were on licence. And they insisted that I had to serve out the full period of my licence because of the seriousness of the offence. Again, they treat it as being worse than murder and rape, pretty much. Just using language that they don't like, which, as we all know, is really just a cover for being critical of government policies. And I mean, you can prove that because the language that I used, the same language is in the TV series Shameless. The same language is used in 25-year-old episodes of The Simpsons. And what's the difference between the writers of The Simpsons and the writers of Shameless and me? Well, my politics are towards the right, and I'm a nationalist, and their politics are towards the left, and they're socialists. That's the difference, is the politics. So it's clearly a political prosecution. She pleaded guilty to inciting racial hatred by publishing and distributing threatening or abusive written material and was sentenced at Birmingham Crown Court in October 2024. Since then, Mrs. Connolly has spoken out about the state of free speech in Britain, which she believes is being eroded. So, as I say, that's the good thing about this, is that it is drawing attention to the way that people who have fallen foul of the UK speech laws, the way that they are treated. She says, "We have free speech as long as your political opinions and your political views align with the current government. And if they don't, then you know they'll do something about that. They will throw you in prison, make an example of you, whatever they might be feeling like that day." And I think that's very true, particularly in her case, because Keir Starmer, I can remember him saying that the judges really ought to throw the book at these people that have been arrested for anything to do with these riots, so they must get long prison sentences. Whereas if it had been a Black Lives Matter riot, for instance, nothing would have happened to her at all. I mean, we don't know that for certain, but I would imagine nothing would have happened to her because we saw what people were saying during Black Lives Matter, and we saw the damage that was done, and we saw the judges just letting people off for lynching statues, for example. GB News has approached the Ministry of Justice for comment. But as I say, it's not the Ministry of Justice that would have made this decision, I don't think. I think it's the probation. I think it's the National Security Division. Because David Lammy would have just said, if he was asked about it, he would have just said, well, what do probation say about it? What do the normal rules and guidance for a licence period, what does it say? And of course, it says you're not allowed to leave the country. Anyway, I wish her all the best. I really do. I think maybe she's just doesn't really know that much about the system. She's been on the sharp end of it for the last year and a half. That she still doesn't seem to know who it is that's making these decisions for her. Whereas I knew very well who it was that were making the decisions for me. And I do wish her all the best. And I'm glad that her case is gaining all this coverage, because that can only be a good thing, and it can only help others that have yet to be released from prison. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.